Every major company on the planet, it seems, is wrestling with transformation right now. You know, whether you call it DX, a big strategic pivot, or just trying to become more sustainable, the change is constant.
And here's the thing, every management team eventually discovers the tech part, the code, the new equipment, even the org chart. That's usually the easy part.
Right.
The real persistent growth-killing obstacle is always the internal corporate culture. I mean, how do you get thousands of people to actually change how they think and work?
Exactly. And that is the very question we are diving deep into today. We've got a fantastic, really dense set of source material. It's centered around a news release from Dentsu dated December 5, 2025.
Right. And it covers the launch of their Culture for Growth program. But the really critical part for us is that it shares these deep insights from an employee perception survey.
And it was done across five extremely diverse global markets in late 2024.
So our mission here is to cut through all the management talk and really understand the reality on the ground. We're looking at the experiences of 3,100 employees. That's across India, Taiwan, the UK, the US, and Canada.
And we want to see what's driving their transformations, and maybe more importantly, why some regions feel these efforts are working beautifully, while others feel like they're, barely scratching the surface.
Yeah.
Okay, let's unpack this. We've all seen those internal memos. Management diagnoses the problem with these vague terms like inability to gain internal understanding.
Oh, yeah. Or my favorite, inability to change employees' passive attitudes.
Exactly. This survey gets beyond that complaint and tells us what employees themselves believe needs to shift.
It gives us essential context. I mean, the source material makes it clear that culture transformation is at the top of the C-suite agenda everywhere. And that's because, well, companies have no choice but to change.
They're just responding to massive shifts.
Massive shifts, global conditions, DX initiatives, sustainability mandates. I mean, if you're restructuring for global growth, your culture has to be agile enough to handle it, period.
So before we jump into the findings, just a quick note on the structure here. This data comes from 3,100 working professionals aged 20 to 59.
And they're all at companies that are currently undertaking these big transformation initiatives. So they're in the middle of it. The survey was late last year, so it's a really crucial snapshot.
Okay.
And these insights are what Dentsu is using for its own tools, their culture diagnostics and talent diagnostics. But what's fascinating is how quickly the common ground just evaporates once you look past the highest level activities.
Let's start right there then. What are companies actually doing?
Well, if we look at the core activities across all five markets, you see this universal truth: digital transformation and organizational transformation. They're the top two everywhere.
Okay, so everyone is modernizing tech and redesigning their structures. That's the baseline.
That's the baseline. But if you look just beneath that surface, at the third and fourth priorities, let's call it the flavor of the transformation, the world just instantly splits into three really distinct clusters.
Okay, and right away we have India as an outlier. Their third most common initiative, cited by almost 44% of respondents, is the launch of a new business or division.
Exactly. This is a market that sees transformation less as a fix and more as just pure growth, pure expansion.
Then you've got Taiwan.
Taiwan is laser-focused on strategy. Their overwhelming secondary focus is a material change in strategy. Over 55% cited that. They are pivoting the entire ship, and they're demanding a clear roadmap to do it.
But then we get to the Western markets, the UK, the US, and Canada, and their distinct focus, consistently third or fourth place, is culture change management itself.
Yeah, about one in four employees in those countries cited that specifically.
And that is a huge, subtle clue for you listening. It suggests that in North America and the UK, they see culture change as a separate thing, a project that has to be actively managed.
They're anticipating friction, much more so than their counterparts in India or Taiwan. They know their existing cultures are going to fight the change.
That's a critical distinction. But it raises the question, if those are the projects, what are the fundamental cultural drivers they're even trying to change? Let's shift there. What do employees see as the foundation of their culture right now?
Precisely. The survey looked at 17 different factors, and again, we find this powerful universal alignment on the primary driver. Across all five markets, the number one factor influencing corporate culture is the company's vision and purpose.
That makes sense. The mission, the North Star.
It's the North Star, but the culture itself is forged in how you get there. And here, that regional split reappears, showing us how people actually operationalize that vision.
Okay, so the secondary drivers are different.
completely different. They reveal really three distinct models. In India and Canada, for example, the second top driver was learning and development.
So their culture is defined by growth, by upskilling.
Continuous growth, professional progress, yes, that's what it's built on.
But then you have Taiwan, the UK, and the US.
Right. And for them, the second most important driver, and in Taiwan it's actually tied for first, was a clear strategy to achieve vision. For these employees, the vision is pretty meaningless without that tactical roadmap.
That is a fascinating difference. So let's make this concrete for everyone listening. If you work in a company where learning and development is the key driver, your culture probably values experimentation, right? It accepts failure as part of growth.
Yeah, and it promotes based on demonstrated new skills. That's the India-Canada model.
And you contrast that with the clear strategy focus in the UK, US, and Taiwan.
Totally different. Here, the culture prioritizes alignment, efficiency, hitting your milestones. It's all about tactical execution. If a decision doesn't clearly support that stated strategy, it gets rejected.
So both are driven by purpose, but their operational DNA is completely different.
And that's the diagnosis. It's the critical step before management tries to implement anything new. If you try to push a bold, expansive transformation like India's launch a new business into a culture that values rigid strategy over learning,
you're going to hit a brick wall. Massive friction.
It explains so much of the implementation failure we see globally.
Which brings us perfectly to the real aha moment in this deep dive. What employees themselves see is their cultural strengths and their urgent pain points. We're moving from the drivers to the felt reality.
Right. Starting with the strengths, we see these clear regional pride points. India, for instance, which is focused on growth and learning, finds its strongest positive impression in trust.
Okay.
Leadership has the trust of employees. Almost 40% cited that. And that trust enables the kind of rapid expansion they're pursuing.
In Taiwan?
It aligns with their focus on development. They feel strongest about the support they get. The top response was, we support the learning, development, and career growth of employees. That's their cultural edge.
And then we come back to the Western markets. Yeah. UK, US, Canada.
Yes. And all three markets most commonly selected the same statement. We have high standards for quality. In Canada, it was 39.2%. US, 35.4%. UK, 36.0%. So excellence in output, that defines their self-image. Okay, so that's the positive spin. Now let's look at the flip side, the negative pain points, the transformation killers.
This is where it gets really interesting. For India, the biggest negative concern is internal attitude. Few employees have a growth mindset. That was selected by a third of them.
So even with trusted leadership, the individual commitment to change is seen as lagging.
Exactly. In Taiwan, their pain point is structural. Divisions are siloed with weak relationships. And this tracks perfectly with their focus on clear strategy. If you prioritize individual departmental strategy too much, you create these isolated units.
And implementation gets fragmented.
Right. And finally, we get to the starkest contradiction in the whole report. Mm. It's back in the UK, the US, and Canada. The same markets that are so proud of their high standards for quality
are simultaneously plagued by one core operational issue. Decision-making processes are slow. This was the number one negative issue across all three, cited by roughly a third of employees.
Wow. That's excellence inertia. That's a powerful concept, and the data backs it up completely. It's a systemic drag.
It really is. They are so dedicated to being precise and high quality, checking every box, achieving consensus, mitigating all risk, that they build a bureaucracy that inherently prevents the agile transformation they say they need.
It's the ultimate trade-off. Their quality is built on control and process, and those are the very things that kill speed.
And if you're all trying to execute a digital transformation which demands rapid iteration, that slow decision-making process is just going to throttle the entire effort. Its structure disguises culture.
Okay, so if that's the diagnosis, if they know the problem is slow decisions and silos, how successful are their transformation efforts actually proving to be? This takes us to the transformation reality check.
We have to talk about the India outlier again, because their results are just radically different from the rest of the world here.
They're that different.
Oh, yeah. India ranks significantly highest across every single metric, measuring how far the transformation has actually permeated the organization.
The numbers here are truly striking. Over 54% strongly agree. They understand why the transformation is happening. Over 56% strongly agree it will produce positive results.
And the critical one. 45.4% strongly agree they are already seeing positive results. Their total positive agreement for all items is over 90%. It's incredible.
And you compare that with the global lag in the other four markets.
It's a huge contrast. In Taiwan, the UK, US, and Canada, the strongly agree responses for understanding are lower, maybe around 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Expectations of positive results hover around 30%. They know what's happening, but they're way less certain it's going to succeed.
But the real kicker is the perceived results, the tangible impact.
That's the number that matters.
The strong agreement that employees are already seeing positive results just plummets. It drops to only around 20% in these markets. The US is 21%, the UK is 23.6%. That is a massive chasm.
It shows that in the Western and Taiwanese markets, these transformation efforts are struggling, I mean really struggling, to deliver tangible, visible wins for employees. The vision is there, the high standards are there.
But the structural pain points, the silos, and the slow decisions are just eating the benefits of the new initiatives.
Exactly.
So is it possible that India's success comes from their cultural foundations? I mean, if your culture is driven by high trust in leadership and a focus on learning, are you just inherently more equipped to adopt and see results from change?
It certainly appears so. Trust allows for speed. It means less procedural verification. A focus on learning embraces the messy parts of change without needing a perfect, high-quality outcome on the first try.
Whereas if you focus on quality above all else, like the UK, US, and Canada,
you will naturally be slower. You will see results later, if at all, because the transformation itself gets dragged down into endless review cycles to ensure quality.
So what does this all mean for you? The key takeaway is this. Corporate culture transformation is universally driven by purpose, sure, but the obstacles and the successes are highly regionalized. You have to diagnose the specific operational DNA of your market. You can't use a growth mindset workshop to fix a bureaucratic drag problem.
That's the summary right there. A framework that works brilliantly in a high-growth, high-trust market like India, where 90% of employees are on board, will just grind to a halt in a quality-focused, decision-averse environment like North America.
And this leads us to the final provocative thought. Let's look back at that Western cluster, the UK, US, and Canada. They specifically identified culture change management as a core initiative. They knew they had a culture problem.
Right, they self-diagnose.
And yet, they're reporting the lowest strong agreement on actually seeing positive results, and they cite slow decision-making as their single biggest cultural failure.
Which raises a really important question for management teams everywhere. If you actively identify the need for culture management and you launch programs to address it, but you still fail to move the needle on slow decisions and tangible results, is your diagnosis wrong?
Are you just treating the symptoms, like employee passivity, while you ignore the underlying structural rigidity that is truly killing your agility?
Absolutely. The learner has to consider this. For those established Western markets, is the cultural focus on high standards for quality just masking a fundamental bureaucratic problem? A problem that no amount of internal workshops or culture change programs can ever really fix.
Maybe the structure has to be transformed before the culture ever will be.
Good for that.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into decoding global corporate culture and the realities of transformation efforts.